Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where this coming Sunday, April 14th, it is the 12.5 million dollar Venom Championship. I am so excited to play in this tournament. I'm going to be streaming it, by the way, live on twitch.tv/ClaytonComic. Now, this is the largest poker tournament ever to be played on a US facing website. So that's kind of a big deal, and I'm so excited to play day 1A this Sunday, April 14th. My name is Clayton Fletcher, and I am in beautiful Toronto, Canada, one of my favorite cities in the Great White North. I am performing this weekend at an absolutely legendary comedy club here called Yuck Yucks. Looking forward to it. You guys can get tickets, yuckyucks.com/Toronto. So much to get to on this episode, but let's start off with my friend Caitlin Komeski. She got the trophy, guys. She won the ladies event on the WPT Voyage, which was something that I had a lot of FOMO about having to miss. I mean, look, you went out there in the Caribbean Sea. They were playing poker. They were getting a suntan. They were going to shows. It looked like everybody was having a great time. But I just couldn't fit that one into my already overly crowded schedule, unfortunately. But yeah, seeing that the whole thing ended up, I think the very last tournament they played was the ladies event. And Caitlin, who was just a guest here maybe like a month ago here on the podcast, took it down. She got first place. She got a trophy, a title. And we're all very, very proud of her. So way to go, Caitlin, adding to your list of accolades. You know, one thing Caitlin talked about a lot when she was a guest very recently was the way she uses GTO Wizard to help her with her game. She likes the drills. So today we're going to review the hands from last week's podcast episode here. And I want to let you guys know, GTO Wizard is the number one tool on the market today to improve your poker game. I mean, look, guys, I've tried every solver known to man, even Poker Snowy when it first came out. I learned about solvers and what AI even is probably 8 or 9 years ago from a program called Poker Snowy. And guys, this one is so much easier. I mean, you got Snowy, you've got PO, there's all these other solvers out there, and it's a pretty crowded marketplace at this point. But GTO Wizard to me really stands out as being the one that is easiest to use. Yes, there are built-in shortcuts. Yes, there are predetermined drills for you to practice and improve your game. It's easy to upload your hands from ACR Poker and see where the holes are and the leaks in your game. Nothing comes close in terms of ease of use. This program was created with the end user in mind. So not programmer language, but like idiot like Clayton kind of language. Just people that don't really know about artificial intelligence or coding or anything like that. And even somebody like me, I can handle this program, and I'm sure you can too. We have an affiliate code. It's gtowizard.com/p/TPE. Use that link, and it's also shared in the description of this podcast. You can just click on it and do it that way if you prefer. But use that link, guys, because what you'll get is 24 hours unfettered, unlimited access for 24 hours free trial. And from there, if you decide to purchase, which I'm very sure that you will, you'll save 10% off your first purchase just because you used our affiliate link, which again, gtowizard.com/p/TPE. All right, let's get to the hands from last week, guys. We're going to see what the solver thinks of my play in some of these hands. So we have quite a few to go through today, so let's get into it. This hand, you may recall from last week, 7 max right now, 75 players left. In the long card daily double, the blinds were 1250 and 2500, and the average stack was 105K, and we had 156K at the time. Loving life, feeling good. Got moved to a new table, and the under-the-gun player opened to 5,500 off of a stack of 125, and we had 156, and then the action folded all the way back to Hero in the big blind holding the King of Hearts, Nine of Hearts. I decided to call, but on last week's episode, I also pointed out that it's okay to occasionally mix in a little bit of a three bet here with the King Nine suited, which the solver, as it turns out, does make it 22,000 about 28% of the time, and the rest of the time it calls like we did. So check mark for Clayton so far. 16,000 in the middle, and the flop came 9 of diamonds, 7 of diamonds, 6 of hearts, and we had the King 9 of hearts, and I decided to check. Opponent bet half the pot, 8,000, and I called. Now, it's interesting, GTO Wizard actually has us donk leading about a third of the pot, just around 16% of the time, and checking the rest. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've been told for a long time now, just you always check to the razor in heads-up pots, but here's a spot where the wizard says otherwise. So that really got my attention right there. So we are checking 84% of the time, of course. So, give myself a little credit for that one. And when the solver gets to this point facing a half pot bet, it's a pure 100% call, which is what I did. So now there was 32,000 in the middle, and the turn was the deuce of hearts, which brought us a flush draw to go right along with our pair of nines. I decided to check. Opponent put in 23,000 into the 32,000 pot, and I decided to call. I remember last week talking about how originally I had planned to check raise this card, but then opponent bet so much, it changed my mind. And GTO Wizard has our check on the flop 100% of the time, and our call on the turn 100% of the time versus this particular sizing. Okay, guys, let's move on to the river, which came the four of spades. And so we just end up with a pair of nines. I decided to check. Opponent put out 26,000 into the 78,000 pot, leaving himself with about another 63,000 behind. I decided to call, but it was a crying call for sure, because I was just having trouble figuring out what kind of hand would bet this amount that I can actually beat. Like, I'm just getting owned a lot. I remember saying that in last week's episode. Well, the solver has us checking this river 100% of the time, and then facing this one-third bet, calling 87% of the time, and only folding 8% of the time, actually shoving the rest. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really think that's going to be part of my repertoire anytime soon. But, you know, certain things that GTO Wizard will do, or that any legitimate solver program will have you do, some of those things are going to be for the purposes of being unexploitable, just for balance purposes. You know, some 5% play or less, we don't really have to worry about making those plays very often. In real life, in practice, if you literally never shoved in this spot, you're not giving up any significant expected value, that's for sure. So I found that whole hand interesting. I'm glad I played it well. I wasn't confident at all about my call on the river, but I guess given that sizing, we just have to pay off even when we know we're beat a lot. So yeah, I love this tournament, by the way. The Long Card Daily Double is quickly becoming one of my favorite events on ACR Poker. And guys, if you're not yet playing on my favorite poker site, I mean, look, I've got a great deal for you. Right now, if you click the link in the description of this podcast, you can receive a 100% first-time deposit bonus up to $2,000 just by entering the promo code TPE. You guys are going to love the action. We've got the $12.5 million guaranteed Venom starting this weekend, which I will be streaming on twitch.tv/ClaytonComic. We've also got the TPE free roll this Sunday. It's a $1,000 MTT with a buy-in of $0.00 US. All right, another hand, guys, a new table. We got moved a lot in this one, man. I remember commenting, like, every time I looked up, I had a whole new group of opponents to try to figure out. At this point, the blinds were 1750 and 3500 with a 450 ante, and we were down to 80,000 when the average was about 115. 67 players remained in the tournament, and our table was playing seven-handed. So I just have like 22, 23 big blinds here. One fold to me at this seven-handed table, and I opened with two red fives for the minimum, and only the big blind with a monster stack called. So we're going to be heads up in position, hero with pocket fives, 19,000 in the middle at that point. And by the way, guys, GTO Wizard 100% pure loves my min raise. So with 19K in the middle, the flop came jack of clubs, 10 of clubs, 4 of clubs, all clubs, and we just have pocket fives with no clubs. Villain checked, and I bet 5250 into the 19,000 pot, and villain called. The solver never checks in my shoes. Now, this is odd to me because I've been doing a lot of study of all of these spots where you have a monochrome flop and the hero doesn't have any of that suit. And, you know, when we have more chips, we're very, very often checking behind. But I think it's because we're starting with 22, 23 bigs that's why we have to bet here. Guys, you can't worry about everything when you're getting short stacked. You've got to make moves. You've got to do things. So we never, ever check according to the solver. We always bet small, usually 1/3, but often 1/5 of the pot. So I'm going to give myself credit because I was right in between those two extremes. And now the pot was 29,500 and the turn came the 7 of spades. So we still just have pocket fives, no draw. And the villain checked and I checked behind. Solver also checks behind like we did 96% of the time. Does some little inky dinky bet the rest of the time. And the river came the jack of spades. Again, villain checked, and I decided to check. I was very surprised when we beat king nine offsuit with no club. And I was even more surprised when I found out that we never, ever bet this river card. It's a pure 100% check back. So solver really likes the way I played this small pot with pocket fives. And the last hand from last week, guys, the blinds were 2,000, 4,000, and we're still at a seven-handed table. And the action folded to the cutoff, who is a player that I actually knew and had copious notes on. Very loose, aggressive player that I'd had a lot of experience playing against. I have HUD stats, 400-plus hands on this guy. And he was 22-15 with 11% 3-bet. And most rememberably, the 6.0 PFA. So, wowee, he opens for the minimum from the cutoff, and I was next to act on the button with the Queen of Diamonds, 10 of clubs, and 100,000, or about 25 times the big blind. I decided to go for a 3-bet, and I made it 23,000, which is almost 6 big blinds. Just to be a little nitpicky here, the solver never does this sizing off of these stacks, right? So I started with 25 bigs. The solver, if somebody min raises and the solver wants to 3-bet, whether with queen 10 or any other hand that might be in the 3-betting sometimes or always range, it's always either all in or to 5 big blinds. So my sizing, I learned, is a little bit big. You know, we're trying to set up a favorable SPR. We're trying to be able to maneuver easily post-flop. We're also going to want to give ourselves plenty of room to still maneuver. So the 6 big blinds was a little too big. So next time I'll make it 5 in these situations. With my exact hand, by the way, Queen of Diamonds, 10 of clubs, the solver is folding 55% of the time, calling about 40% of the time, and only raising to 5 big blinds just 5% of the time. So solver doesn't like it, but I have my reasons as I detailed last week. The pot is 56,000 and the board is ace of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, 4 of hearts. We have the queen of diamonds, 10 of clubs, and our opponent checked and I decided to check behind with second pair. Solver doesn't love it. Solver only checks 10% of the time and bets mostly quarter pot. Bets a quarter pot about 77% of the time. So I can't give myself any credit for this play. But I guess if you are going to have 10% of the time that you're checking, maybe that 10% should be when you are up against a very wild and aggressive opponent when you wouldn't really exactly know how to respond to a check raise. So that's my justification for why I did that. The turn came the 4 of diamonds, which gave us a flush draw to go along with second pair. I decided to check behind again. So he checked and I checked. The solver on this card is mixed. Mostly just bet like one big blind, which is weird. Does check back about 23% of the time. So I guess I can take partial credit there. And the river came the ace of spades pairing the board. And now out of nowhere, our opponent shoves 64,000, about 115% of the pot. And I didn't know what else to do. I decided to call. And we lost to ace-jack suited, which I'm actually still surprised that that hand didn't go all in pre-flop. Anyway, the solver only calls 2% of the time. So this is a 98%, basically a pure fold. So I can't really be too proud of how I played that hand. But again, guys, remember that the solver is just one way of looking at it. I mean, it's a very important way of looking at it. But the solver is never trying to exploit anyone. And when I'm playing poker, unless I'm against one of the best players in the world, I'm usually trying to exploit someone. So I did deviate from what a GTO equilibrium strategy would look like. But again, I had my reasons for doing so. So even though GTO Wizard would give me low marks, I can at least justify my actions, even if the results did not. All right, well, let's move on. You know, guys, I'm really excited for Vegas this summer. I can't wait to play in the World Series of Poker. I think this is going to be my 17th time going to Vegas for the World Series. Now, look, I haven't always gone for the entire summer. I've told stories on this podcast before about my early days going to the World Series of Poker with just a few $100s in my pocket. One year, I think I had $800, and that was my bankroll for the week and a half that I was planning to spend in Vegas, and somehow I ran it up into playing in three different $1,500 bracelet events. So yeah, that's back when I was the king of the sit-and-go, RIP sit-and-goes at the World Series. Anyway, so this hand comes from late on day 2D. So if you remember last year, it was the record-breaking biggest main event ever. They had four starting days, and as always, the last starting day was the most full. So that meant if you had played on day 1D, then everyone who advanced played on day 2D without combining with any of the other days just yet, not till day 3. So here we are, day 2D, and a player by the name of Sinren Chen from Taiwan opened to 2,600 from early position. I'm not going to reveal Chen's hand just yet because we are going to play this hand from the perspective of the big blind. Francis Anderson from Poughkeepsie, New York is in the big blind and he's got the nuts, guys. He's got the ace of spades and the ace of clubs and his stack is 144,000. So we're obviously very deep, each player with over 100 big blinds here on day 2D, and Anderson decides to re-raise to 10,000, which I absolutely 100,000,000% approve. I like his bet. I like his sizing. I like everything about this. Make it 10K and try to build a pot with your aces. Back to Chen, who calls, and now we're going to see a flop. Heads up, hero with the pocket aces. There's 21,800 in the middle, and the effective stack is Chen with 115,000. So an SPR of right around 5.5. And the flop comes 9 of spades, 4 of hearts, deuce of diamonds, 9-4 deuce rainbow. Now I'm sitting here with my aces. I think this is one of the best flops I can imagine that doesn't have an ace in it. We love this flop. Anderson decides to bet. I would put in about a third of the pot here. You know, there's no reason to go any bigger than that. You want to try to get some curious lookups from hands like king, queen, ace, queen, any of those two overcard hands. We basically have drawing dead, more or less, at this point. So we want to just entice them. I would put in about 7,000, and that's what Mr. Anderson did as well. He bets 7,000 into 21,800, and Chen makes the call. So I'm not going to tell you, I haven't yet told you what Sinren Chen held. You'll find out at the end. So now the pot was 35,800 and Chen had 108K in his stack. And the turn is the 9 of clubs, pairing the top card on board. Now, if you are Anderson, You've got to think to yourself, what do I want to do here? Of course, aces don't really come around that often. Like, do I want to try to maximize this hand? Do I think that I can get away from it if I bet and get raised at this point? Like, what's the plan when the top card pairs? I mean, I don't really know how many nines Chen should have in his range for opening from early position and then calling a three bet. But we are pretty deep, and, you know, people do splash around, especially in that part of the world, so you can never really rule it out. I guess on balance, I like to check on the turn and then go for a big value bet on the river. Also, if we check on the turn, we can probably call. If Chen decides to put out a bet, like maybe try to steal the pot, like if he chose to float the flop with a hand like King Jack or something, King Jack suited maybe, King Queen, then maybe he would bluff with those hands when he would have just folded if we would bet. So that's another reason to check. And a really good reason to check, I think, is just to kind of protect our checking range, right? I mean, there are going to be so many times when we're the ones with ace king, ace queen, those kinds of hands that like to make a big raise from the big blind. You could really just print money in Chen's shoes by calling that flop bet and then just betting every time your opponent checks on the turn, assuming Anderson bets when he has it and checks when he doesn't. I mean, that's a pretty easy strategy to beat. So when you're out of position, you sometimes need to check a strong hand in an effort to balance out that range. And that's what we call protecting your checking range. Anderson wants to bet again. He puts in 14,800 into the 35,800 pot. So at least he bets small. He's still trying to get action from like a, I guess like a pocket fives kind of hand. That could make sense. Like a lot of those middle pairs might raise and then call the three bet deep stacked in position, trying to hit a set. And then the flop just comes so unthreatening for hands like that, that he might just be enticed, especially with a smaller bet, to just keep hanging around and hoping that we just show up with ace king somehow or whatever. So yeah, that's, I guess, what he's going for here. I really don't love it. I would probably still have checked on the turn and then just try to get my value on the river, which is, look, I don't think we have a three streets of value kind of hand. I know the board is really good. I know it's very unlikely he doesn't have a nine, but I just think when you create an SPR of 5.5, you certainly shouldn't be trying to get your whole stack in with one pair, even on a nine high flop. But Anderson bets 14-8 and Chen calls once again. So now we've got a pretty big pot brewing, 65,400 in the middle, and Chen with just 93K in his stack. And the river comes the six of spades. We already knew there wouldn't be a flush, but that doesn't really seem to be like a very scary card either. Our final board, nine of spades, four of hearts, deuce of diamonds, nine of clubs, six of spades. So I guess that 5-3 got there. But I mean, do we really raise from early position and then call a big three bet with 5-3? I mean, I'm sure somebody does. I don't know if Mr. Chen is that person. I don't know. To me, I just think we want to check on the turn. That makes this river a lot easier to play. Right now, we're in kind of a bloated pot on what looks like a really clean board, and that my aces should be good. So if you force me to bet that turn, I guess I'm actually betting this river again. Like, unless the guy is slow playing a big hand like a nine or a flopped set, I mean, we probably can still continue to get value from whatever he's got by making another smallish value bet on the river. So with 65,400 in there, I would probably go small and just bet like 20K and see if I can squeeze a little more juice out of that orange. It's not really my preferred line, as mentioned. I'd rather not bet the turn, but as played, I think I would also bet the river for a small amount. Anderson's kind of on the same page. He bets 30K into 65, and then Chen moves all in for 93,400. So what a spot. Anderson's sitting there. He's got pocket aces. There's 188,800 in the middle, only costs another 63 to call. So just about 3-1 on a call. You know, you've only got to be good about 25% of the time to break even on these calls. Anderson's in the tank a little bit, not for too long though, maybe like 30 seconds. And when he looked like he was just about to fold, he asked his opponent, "Where are you from, sir?" And Mr. Chen said, "Taiwan." And then Anderson immediately threw his hand away. So what do you guys think? Are the aces, should the aces have been calling this shove? Could you get away from your aces? I'm now ready to reveal that Sin Ren Chen had pocket sixes, so he rivered the full house. He was behind the whole way and then rivered the full house. And somehow, Francis Anderson sniffed that out. All right, let's do one more. That was a good one. I don't know, guys. I know you're going to ask me what would I have done on that river. I like to think I'd be able to get away from it. But, you know, it's such a clean board for aces. You got to wonder if the guy's been slow playing pocket kings the whole way and just now decides to, quote unquote, spring a trap. I don't know. It's just, it's very, very hard in the heat of the moment to get away from that hand, which is why I didn't want to play such a big pot with it in the first place and why I wanted to check the turn. All right, let's go on the same day, actually at the same level, on the other table, Fedor Holtz. That's right, Mr. German whiz kid, I am no longer retired from poker, Fedor, decides to get after it with Queen 6. So here's the action. We're still at 600, 1200, and the action folds to Fedor in the hijack, and he's got the Queen of Hearts, 6 of Hearts, and he makes it 2600 off of a short stack of only 41,000. The cutoff folds, but the button, Andrew Wisdom, decides to make the call, and he's obviously got Fedor well covered with 147,000, and the small blind folds, and an old man named Dodo in the big blind decides to call. So three of us see the flop, and Dodo's got about 112K for the record. 9,600 in the pot, and the flop comes Queen of Spades, 9 of Diamonds, 5 of Clubs. Queen 9, 5, and Hero with the Queen 6 of Hearts. No hearts on the flop. I have not revealed either of the other players' starting hands just yet. Dodo checks, and now Fedor has an SPR of around 4. He's got to figure out what to do with top pair, no kicker here on Queen 9, 5. And Fedor decides to check, actually. And then Wisdom on the button decides to check as well. Now the turn comes the Ace of Clubs. So our board is now Queen 9, 5, Ace with two clubs. And Dodo checks again. Now if I'm Fedor, I don't think I'm going to bet this Ace of Clubs. I probably wish I had bet the flop. You never want to see an overcard when you have such a vulnerable hand to begin with. But now that the ace does come, I think I just want to try to do damage control here. So I would check as well. And that's what Fedor does, just check on that ace. And then Andrew Wisdom decides to put in 5K into 9,600 with two opponents. Dodo, the old man, folds. And Fedor has a decision to make, I think. You know, are we really going to make the call here with second pair when our stack is getting very short, going to be out of position, heading to the river? I don't know. I mean, I think this is probably not a hand that I would have opened in the hijack in the first place, pre-flop with 35 big blinds. Maybe Fedor has some reason. Maybe he thinks he has a read on all of his opponents. Maybe he's been sitting there long enough that he knows he needs to start getting involved and he knows what everybody does and he is a super genius whiz kid, so I'm not really going to criticize him too much, but let's just say I'm not opening Queen 6, suited or not, from the hijack. But now if we're here, I guess maybe we have to call sometimes and fold sometimes. It's probably a bit of a mix. So Fedor makes the call, and now with 19,600 in the middle, the river comes the 10 of hearts for a final board of Queen of Spades, 9 of Diamonds, 5 of Clubs, Ace of Clubs, 10 of Hearts. Fedor with just second pair with a 6 kicker at this point, and he checks once more. And this time, Andrew Wisdom overbet shoves 34,000 into a pot of 19,600. Fedor tanks for a couple minutes and then makes the call, at which time Andrew Wisdom turns over the King of Hearts, Jack of Hearts, for the rivered straight, in this case, the nuts. The Broadway, the nuts, got there on the end. So, it's easy to watch a hand like this on TV and then say, wow, that fader, he's not so great. You know, what was he thinking? So I've been trying to think about this hand a lot ever since I watched it on Poker Go. And it's always hard when it's one of the outer tables. We don't really know what kind of stuff this Andrew Wisdom had been up to before that. We don't know what's been going on, what the table dynamics are. What we do know is that on a board of Queen 9-5, there are a lot of draws. Now, Wisdom had called from the button, so he could probably have a hand like Jack 10, maybe even 8-7 suited with a backdoor, this or that. He doesn't have to have an ace, and probably Fedor was thinking that the turn ace didn't help Andrew Wisdom very much because a lot of his hands containing an ace that he would want to continue with pre-flop would actually have been for a three bet a lot of the time, if not all the time. Certainly ace-king, ace-queen, especially against an aggressive German Fedor Holtz, you're going to be three betting those hands. You're going to try to get all in if you can with those hands versus such an aggressive opponent. You're also going to three bet bluff with hands like ace three suited, ace five suited, when you choose to play them. There just aren't that many ace X calling hands when the open comes from an aggressive player in the hijack. If you're going to continue on the button, we usually do go for a three bet rather than a call. So perhaps Fedor talks himself into it like, hey, I mean, if the guy doesn't have an ace, my queens are good. And so what's he bluffing with on the river? Maybe 8-7 or some other hand that maybe picked up a flush draw on the turn and now bricked off on the end? I don't really know. I'm just trying to take a guess here about how Fedor made such a loose call for his tournament life. And by the way, guys, there aren't that many players that can put in this many chips with Queen 6 in the main event. And for Wisdom's part, I really like the way he plays this hand because when he gets there on the river, he overbets, polarizing himself, saying basically, Fedor, I either have the nuts or close to it, or I have nothing, and I'm trying to push you and your little dinky short stack out of my pot so I can continue building my chip lead at this table and blah, blah, blah. Now, there's a lot of that sort of psychology that goes on that can kind of influence our decisions. When your choice is close between calling and folding in a spot like this one, sometimes those other dynamics will tip the scales one way or the other. But regardless, that was the last hand that Fedor Holtz saw in the 2023 World Series of Poker main event. And I don't know about Fedor, but I've been scratching my head ever since. And that'll do it for this episode. Guys, if you haven't had a chance to rate and review the podcast, it means so much to us. Apple Podcasts or Spotify, just give us that 5-star rating. It means so much to us. It helps us out more than you can possibly imagine. Just every single review counts, and that's something you can do for free to show us some love. And I hope to see some of you Sunday on twitch.tv/ClaytonComic. I will be streaming the $12.5 million Venom with cards up, and I will also be giving out the password for this week's Tournament Poker Edge free roll on twitch.tv/ClaytonComic. And for everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, with special thanks, as always, to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker, I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening. I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll get her heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa. Her, a hot pair we will be. While little
little gambling is fun when you're with me.
I love it.
Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, it's not rough, it isn't fun, fun. Oh, whoa.
She can't read about poker.